Okay, I hate to break up social hour back there. Yeah. That's why I hate to break it up.
You can only get away with that in
church. Yeah. You're right. Oh. Okay. I thought everybody would be back from spring break by this Sunday. Good grief.
They're back. They're just not able to drive.
Probably right. All right. Okay, let's. We have a lot we want to cover this morning. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. And then we will worship in song. And I never could understand if announcements and all of that was part of worship or not. Is it part of worship, or is that sort of an interruption of worship?
Only if you hire an announcement pastor.
Ah! Oh, they do. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to look for us an announcement pastor. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And purpose of the prayer, of course, orient yourself to the teaching of the word of God and the worship of God in the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this humble assembly. We thank you so much for the teaching of the Word of God, the worship, the outreach that we have with our young people, the internet, and missionary activity. And Father, we just pray now that all that we do in this assembly will be glorifying to you, worshiping of your Son, worshiping of you in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, let's begin in your hymnals to 254, and we'll sing all three verses of 254, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Brian? Thank you. Let's begin. Let's see. Let's begin with some announcements. And Phil, you have one?
Yes, I'll be your announcement pastor this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it's flower time again. So we have
All the flowers on the front side, order for them on the back side. Okay? Let's see. I received a message from an angel. Orders in by April 1st, please. And the pickup is going to be at Larry and Brian Wise's house this year on April 16th. Okay? So next Sunday's Easter, so your flowers are going in after Easter this year, okay? It's not our fault. It's that crazy calendar thing they do every year. So the flowers and the order forms will be in the back on the table. You can pick them up, fill them out, bring them next week, or do them right on the spot. Just do them right on the spot.
I'll take the order.
And you give your order to Pat Winfield. Filled out. Any questions?
The more you buy, the more Jesus will bless you.
Yeah, amen.
Thanks, John.
All the theology we learned. Okay. First of all, people, please be in prayer for Eve. She's one of our own, and things are going on. She needs your prayers. Physical strength, substance, wisdom, love, all encouragement, all these wonderful things. Please be in prayer for Eve at this time. Let's see now. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
We have a sign-up sheet. Her husband is in hospice. So it should, we don't know. But we have a sign-up sheet. Like tonight, I will bring dinner tomorrow night. And Elle is. And then if y'all will sign up for different nights. Eve, as you all know, is a very private person. And, you know, she's, oh, no, no, no. But as a church, as her church family, then...
It's our opportunity.
It's our opportunity to help her. So if it's in the front, if everybody will sign up until Saturday. It could be any time. It may not, he may not last until Saturday. But they are at her house. And she lives, yeah. So,
is there more than, is this just feeding her and him, or is there other family members there, do you know?
You know, just maybe a little extra.
Extra for the sisters, the daughters are there.
Yeah, any dietary restrictions, do you have that? I'm just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's I don't know. Think. And the address is on there and everything, so we can.
Oh, I didn't know.
I have it. Okay, we'll get that.
But, yeah, I'm sure he's probably not even eating
right
at the time. But mostly it's for Eve and the girls when they come.
Oh, it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many daughters?
She has three daughters. And then, of course, there's great. And so, but just, you know, I just think anything that she would be appreciative of.
Okay, so prayer and then prayer pursuit. Prayer pursuit is helping out the family if you can. In regard to a night of feeding, and that's just a wonderful opportunity we have, and that's been going on since Acts chapter 1, so Acts chapter 3. So bear that in mind. And any other prayer requests that I need to do? Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir.
So please continue to pray for our youth ministry. The Slam Camp is the first weekend in April. It's going to be what God wants it to be, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be amazing. So what's that? Today's our last planning session, so please pray.
Today is.
All right. Please pray for the please pray for the young people that are actually leading a majority of this, and Phil and his teaching and just
people just don't know how important. Well, you probably do at this assembly. How important it is. You talk about young people don't do this, young people don't do that. We got some young people here that are very sharp in their allegiance to the Lord. Charles Clough this week at the Pastor's Conference. I'm not going to take, just let you know, I'm not going to take John Hintz's time this morning to talk about the conference. I'll do that next week or something, maybe a little bit over time. But Charles Clough, I've known Charles Clough since the 60s, and but he, part of his presentation was, it's time for Christians to stand up instead of being pushed around. We're pushed around in our education. We're pushed around in schools, what they want to teach, what they want to do with us. It's time Christians stood up and just made it be known that there are Christians in this country. And we just need to be in prayer for these young people. And it is very tough to stand up for the Lord. And one of the other examples, and I'll be talking about Stephen Austin, but... He's a geologist, an unbelievable man. But he was at Yellowstone National Park, and they had this big sign up there about how millions of years and all. And so he called the director, and he just kept asking questions. They'd taken the sign down.
No.
I said, get rid of that sign. And but it's just time we stop being taken that way and just make a stand. So please be in prayer for Chris Lordag, the Wises, Phil McMillan, everyone has anything to do with it, with the Slam Camp, which is preparation for the summer camp, which is preparation, and actually not just preparation, but part of the ministry right now, of our young people and making them stand for Christ. And this is so important. And I just am thankful. You know, it's one of those kind of things, well, we don't see him here. Well, I know that, and I have to deal with that too. But I am so thankful that we have the opportunity of touching these people. In fact, John's going to be talking about this in his class this morning. I'm just thankful we have an opportunity of working with these young people and being part of what they're doing in their relationship with the Lord. So we will definitely be in prayer, and just anything comes up, and be good. All right, let's see. I saw another hand. Yes.
About you guys praying for my co-workers at work.
Yeah.
The situation is getting better, settled down, and I see another opportunity to glorify the Lord. Because right now, a lot of us Christians over there, or so-called we call Christians that the rest of the people know, are into the complaining binge, and I think there's a way to actually turn it around. Some of them also, I found out, they don't understand what the Holy Spirit is. So please pray for them that in the days and weeks to come, that they could take the opportunity to glorify the Lord instead of waiting for the manners to come and say, oh, it's not the right place, right, or like that, you know, that kind of thing. I appreciate it. You keep on praying for them.
Don't feel bad. There are a lot of preachers that don't know about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so don't worry too bad.
I'm going to New York tomorrow for 8 days.
You want us to pray for New York or pray for you?
You know, I never thought about it.
Both, I think. You and Brian.
You're really good. But just coming off this yuck and flu and pneumonia and stuff, I'm a little down, so the immune system's not where it should be, and I've got a lot of responsibility.
Well, definitely
and
be
I
a
just,
prayer.
I just would sincerely appreciate the covering.
Well, that would be a prayer. And people, these are prayers. Eve, Brian Elmore, Slam, the young people, things that Julie just talked about. These are things you want to put on your daily prayer list. This isn't, you know, God's busy. He might forget. So we need to remind him tomorrow what we prayed about today. And so these are things you can daily go into prayer and should go into prayer about, and as far as your prayer life is concerned. Was there any other hands? Yes, Terry?
My friend Lisa Carney and her family is the Gardner family, but her mom's been ill off and on, and they're debating on whether it's time to go into hospice. She's been ready to go home and be with the Lord for quite a while. So Lisa's, you know, debating. She lives here. She's got to travel back home to Kansas. She doesn't know if she should wait or just go and spend the next 2 weeks with her because she says, my mom will call me because she knows. She'll call me if it's time to come. But so she was really struggling with that yesterday when I was with her. I think she will end up driving home and just spending some time there with her. But it's just, you know, even though you know hopefully they're going to heaven, it's still hard.
She's
the only daughter out of 7 brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's like, you know.
She's lived how long?
And,
wow. I've lived long enough that I can just see it now. I'm lying there and Judith comes in and says, well, hospice is here this week. I go, uh-oh. I'm really close. You're bringing in the big guns. And I'll tell you what, not all of hospice are saved, but a lot of them are, and they're just wonderful people. I have never met anyone that worked with hospice that I was not impressed with, and they just have an unbelievable heart and consciousness of what's going on for the person dying, the family, everything, and all the different aspects of it. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
I think I mentioned Jody before, friend of the family. My mother's known her for, I've known her since third grade, and she went into hospice the week before last. She is a believer. Prayer would be for her comfort, I guess, at the end, and but mainly for her family.
Family.
Because I know her family. I grew up with her. kids. They're all right. And then we have another one. We have a friend of ours, Casey and Wendy, are having marital stress. They need some help. And as always, all the gentlemen at Cigar or Cigar Church.
Don't leave. I want you to meet. I know you know him, but just talk to John about the Cigar Church. We didn't leave Houston until 10 yesterday, and it was already half over.
And I had cigars.
And so please talk to him. Yes?
First, I want to thank the congregation for praying for me. I'm still above ground, so we've got another Roto-Rooter procedure either Tuesday or sometime after that. So they want to go back in and take care of the 70% blockage and my right artery.
Now, how many stents? They put it in?
Put two stents in. The small arteries that was like 99% blocked.
And there's one at 70% blocked.
One at 70, one's at 40, so they want to do something with the 70 and just monitor the 40.
Okay. And so that's either Tuesday or sometime. So we pray for time, God's timing on that. Well, Ed, we're thankful you're above ground. And
we're bacon for you.
Yeah.
We really are. And yes.
And Ellen and I decided that probably the best thing for Eve is when we bring food, just call her, let her know, and just put it on the front porch. And that way she can get it and we won't disturb them. And then I think that's the best way to handle it.
And do call her, otherwise the dogs will think it's for them in the neighborhood. And they just leave it sitting out there, so you don't want to do that.
Put your names on the dishes, too.
And so any other prayer requests? You know, if everything's okay, then no announcement or anything, but I'm sorry. I'm just a person of habit. Thomas, how you doing, sir? Good.
Well, and I just got to mention because...
You tell us how good he's doing.
I reflect a lot. This weekend is the weekend 5 years ago that we got sent to the hospital.
Wow. Actually, 5 years ago this weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
And so there was that memory on Facebook, and then I just read it, and I sit there with tears of joy and just give thanks to God. And thank you, everybody, for your prayers. And
wow.
Love to see the miracles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you were going to see.
Yep.
All right. Any other prayer requests? Anything in that regard? Okay. Let's go into offertory, and then James is going to come, and then... I'll just, without having to break the momentum, I like easy flow and smooth flowing. John Hintz, I've known John, as you know, since the 60s, and we're just very good friends. And he's the kind of friend, you know, some friends you go, boy, they're my friend, but Lord, don't put us close to each other in eternity. And I hope John and I and Judy and Judith are close together in eternity. And we love harassing each other on earth. Why not through eternity? And John Hintz will be speaking this morning. We had a wonderful conference, and I'll tell you more about the conference as time goes on. And so John will be speaking here, and I won't take any more time to introduce him than that. And like I said, James will come up in a few moments. But the Word of God is... Clear, whosoever, when you give us unto the Lord, people, you don't give out of necessity. And that means, well, if I don't give to God, he won't bless me. That's not theology. That's not God. And we don't give out of any kind of gimmicks or pressure or something like that. We give cheerfully, willfully. Father, this is a privilege to use money that I could use in the physical realm for the spiritual. And John's going to be talking about that, so I'm going to save any more on that. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this assembly. We are astounded at the opportunities you give this assembly in the spreading of the gospel. The internet, missionaries, unbelievable outreach in young people, and right here in our own assembly, in so many different ways, Heavenly Father, and we're just so thankful And therefore, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.
February of 2015, the man that wrote this died at age 93. I love the song, been singing it most of my life, and I would like for you to sing this chorus with me. He's playing the verse right now, and we're going to sing the chorus once, and I'm going to let you remain seated.
I tell you, James, that brings back memories. Used to love to go see him, Statesman, Big Chief, Blackwood Brothers, Hovey Lester, Imperials would come in. They used to come to Houston every other month in the late 50s, early 60s. And I had a seat there at the music hall on about the eighth row right in the middle. Yeah, I just loved it. Boy, could they sing. Could they sing. Okay, let's take a second or two and kind of shift gears and make sure we're ready to see what God the Holy Spirit has for us and listen to him, because he is our teacher, and that we're trusting him during this time. We trust Jesus once for eternal life, but we have to trust the Holy Spirit just time after time after time. And hopefully you are trusting Him during the announcement and during prayer and during singing and giving and so forth. And now you're going to trust Him to teach you something. Because I need His help. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You so much for this assembly. I thank You for the time we have to come together and to worship You and Your Word. I pray that our true teacher, God the Holy Spirit, would teach us, show us the things that You would have us to see, to learn, to apply in our lives. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I left my drink down here. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirits and truth. I think I got that right. And so I got it right here. Oh, yes. Well, let's see. The Rice family is not really having much problems. Bob Jr.'s had open heart surgery this last week. The other son is on the list to get a lung transplant. Bob is not doing well at all. And, of course, Joan has Parkinson's disease, and she takes care of a lot of them. And so they need your prayers a whole lot. Let me tell you, that Joan is a warrior. If you looked up the word faithful warrior in the dictionary, you see a picture of her. And they live down in Sierra Vista, which is about 90, 95 miles from church, thereabouts maybe. And every Sunday. And she comes, and she in tremendous pain all the time, and but she never complains. Takes care. She raises money for the Risleys, who are doing well. I don't know if I can mention this in this church, but I will anyway. It's a religious game because it's played in a lot of churches. Bingo. I think it originated in a Catholic church. And she plays bingo and wins money. And with that money, she really does Christmas for the kids down in Mexico. And and slot machines, too. I don't know if you can say that God blesses somebody when they play the slots. Or play bingo, but he blesses her. And she'll come in, hey, I won $400 last week. And that money all goes in mission. So you see, God does bless you if you gamble, but you have to triple tithe. So keep praying for her and for all of them. And, keep praying for the Risleys. They're doing well and can be expected. Living in Mexico makes you old quicker before you ought to be getting old. And a few years ago, Bill said, you know, we're just getting too old to sleep on the ground anymore. I don't know. And as they got, especially after Pat's heart condition, wow. I don't know how many heart attacks she had had. I mean, just, she said, well, yeah, I felt this pain, but I just kept on. And she probably had 10, 12, 15 heart attacks and just kept right on tooling. Didn't know you're supposed to stop and at least rest during a heart attack. And, but she's hanging in there. And, how God changed things, instead of them going out in the middle of nowhere and seeing people, now God brings the people from nowhere into them. And it used to be, because I tease Billy, he's not a real missionary. Okay? I mean, he'd drive his truck through you know, four-wheeling guys having fun, river bottoms, you know. Oh, that's work. And then he pull up some little farmhouse or what, actually a ranchero, and three or four cowboys live. And next thing you know, there's a long line of people just waiting to hear gospel. Take a number. Take a number. Number 22. Okay, you come, you know. And just gives the gospel and lessons, and away they go. But now they've started a soup kitchen, and with Courtney and her medical practice, they come in to get healed. She heals them physically and gives them an opportunity to be healed spiritually. They all get the gospel. And from there, they're studying the Bible. Let me tell you, those people in Mexico, I don't want to say anything derogatory about Mexicans, but they don't know you're supposed to be saved 15, 20 years in doctrine before you can tell somebody else about Jesus. They are just so ignorant. They think as soon as they get saved, they can go right out and tell their family and their neighbors and their friends about Jesus, and they get saved too, and then they're doing the same thing. Just great. So I appreciate your prayers for them. I think I'm going to teach you what I'm going to teach you, but I'm going to teach it differently than what I had planned on my notes, because notes tie you down, and I don't have an overhead anyway. So turn to 1 Peter. That's in the New Testament. And I just want you to look at chapter 1, verse 13. This is a Bible church, so we will be going through the Bible. If you happen to have my type of Bible, it's on page 362, if that helps you. Here's what Peter says here. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Oh, here's a verse for us. Keep sober. I'll drink to that. that's good. Keep sober. Fix your hope. The aorist imperative here, start fixing your hope. Oh, 113. Yes, that's good. You raise your hand here. I love Pentecostal salutes. 1 Peter 1:13. Fix your hope, your confidence, completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's just go backwards and to forwards. Revelation of Jesus Christ. What do you think we're talking about? When is Christ going to be revealed to us? The rapture. So we're to have confidence in something that Jesus is going to bring with him in the clouds at the rapture. And it's the grace. You know what he's going to bring? Our inheritance. Our blessings. He's going to bring them with us. Our lives are going to be evaluated. And Peter says, I want you to live your life in such a way that you're confidently looking forward to the rapture. Not so you can go get out of this life. Things are so horrible. The politics and the job. No. So you can get your reward. Your inheritance that Jesus has had for you. Ephesians chapter 1. Since before eternity passed. We got to get it quick. It's going to wear out. That's what we're to be confident of. Looking forward to. So basically, we're going to think about two things today. Live your life in the light of eternity and give in the light of eternity. And I think I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you. Kind of Jewish style. By the way, it may take you a while. So now you can try to find Philippians while I'm speaking here. That's on page 310. Now what? Oh, because I teach every week Salvation Army. Been doing that about 7 years, adult rehab. And the guys out there all have the same translation of the Bible because they give it to them when they come in. And they have a hard time finding stuff. So I'll tell them like Philippians chapter 1, and I'll say, somebody get the page number, tell them. The first guy gets the page number, he gets a candy bar. And they work for candy bars. And then I'll say, okay, it's page 312, and they all look and they can find it. I tell them, hey, this is, you know, Bible study, and you need a Bible. And they're a neat group of guys. You can keep them in your prayer too. But here's the concept that we're going to look at, and this is what Paul is going to be talking about in this chapter, and he talks about it in chapter 1, talks about it in chapter 2, and he talks about it in chapter 4. And here's what he's saying to the church of Philippi. They have given to support his ministry. And they have become financial partners with him. Now, I almost hate to teach this because there are so many on television that, you know, I'm going to be a financial partner. If you'll send me $1,000, God's going to bless you. You look at their churches. The people in the church are often poor, but the preacher's driving a Rolls Royce. Yeah. The prosperity gospel. That's right out of the gates of hell. Well, let me tell you why Satan is so sharp. He will take a legitimate principle from Scripture, counterfeit it, and promote it in such a way that now we're afraid to talk about things because people might think, you know, just like he did with the charismatic movement. Man, we are so terrified of God thinking we might be charismatic that we don't get excited about nothing. When we sing, praise God for him. You know? Because the last thing we want is God to look down and see our worship service. Man, those people gone. You know? I tell them, our people, don't worry about it. He's seen us, heard us sing. There's no way he thinks we're charismatic. No way. But do you see what Satan has done? He's taken the excitement out of Christianity by counterfeiting something. Now we're afraid. No, don't be afraid. Jump on it. And so we have these preachers today, and basically, they don't understand that when God, Jesus Christ, comes, our rewards are grace. Grace. We didn't earn them. We didn't deserve them. It's grace. And yet, Ephesians 2:10, we're saved unto good works to have production. Giving produces, that's a work, production. Is there not? Singing, praising, studying the Word. Now here's the thing, and here's where we're going. Paul is telling the Philippians that by them becoming partners in his ministry, which they have, we'll see this in the Greek, they share in the prophets. Do you ever think of church having prophets? Well, now let me think. Y'all have a youth camp? Right? You ever think about the prophets? What are the prophets? Oh, kids get saved? Kids get turned on to the Word? Kids get turned on to Jesus? Kids grow up and tell other kids about Jesus? Whoa! You see the prophet? Sharing those prophets. If you give to support this ministry, if you give to support your camp, whether it's time, money, prayer, you share in the prophets. those prophets go on for a long time. Now, in the church of Philippi, I mean, you're talking about an investment. Compounded, semi-annually, for about 2,000 years. It's getting up to be a pretty good piece of the pie. Okay? You realize they're still gaining profits from giving to the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago? How's that? Hello? Are we here? Are we kind of a result of the Apostle Paul's ministry? Huh? Yeah, supported by a little church in Philippi, which a very poor church. Let me tell you, those people in Philippi, they're going to get their rewards. People say, what in the world did you people do? 2,000 years compounded interest. It's too late, people, for us to give and get 2,000. Hopefully it's too late. 2,000 years of compound interest. All right? I'm hoping the Lord comes in the next 15, 20 minutes or years. But here's what we can get. We can get compounded interest from this point until the rapture. You're going to make an investment from here to the rapture. And here's the neat thing about God's stock options. They never decrease in value. Never. Can't be lost. And here's what blows my mind. The rewards, the inheritance that Jesus has for us, it never gets old. Never gets old. There are some of you that with what you give, you could buy a new car. Nice one. Don't you? I love new cars. Don't you? And you know, the neat thing is about a new car, after you've had it, you know, about 5 years, it's still just as new as it was. And you still have the... No, you don't. Kids have spilled their Slurpees on the front seat. Scratched in every parking lot. Beat up. Molding's gone, air just whistles in, and you say, roll up the windows. They are up. You look at that blessing, and all you can hear is B.B. King singing, "The thrill is gone." Let me tell you about the blessings that God's going to give in eternity. The thrill is never gone. Can you imagine having something that after you've had it for just a short period of time, maybe a couple billion years, you have the same thrill and excitement right then as you had when you first got it? Can you imagine? See, that's all we can't imagine what God has for us. You know? And let me tell you, nobody's going to look and say, boy, wish I'd bought a new car. Instead of this. No, it's fantastic. So here's where we're going. When you give to this ministry, you share in everything that comes out of this ministry. Okay? You share in the youth ministry and camp. And maybe one of these kids may have the gift of personal evangelism or even evangelism. Or pastor. And they get turned on to Jesus at that camp. And they go out and they start winning people for Jesus Christ. Not only are they, we're talking, obviously, they're filled with the Spirit. But here's the neat thing. They're filled with the Spirit. They're piling up rewards for eternity. You're sharing. You see that? Your rewards are growing. Only God has a plan like that. Only God can do that. I mean, He's pretty cool. I get almost excited about this as Steve does about rocks and mud. Okay? So, do you see where we're going? Now, Philippians chapter 1, Look at verse 3. We'll just read right there, start there. I thank my God for all my memories of you. Go back and read Acts 16. You'll see some of those memories. We had a great memory. Spent the night in jail. Wow. Some of you, probably never been in jail. Some of you probably have. And you probably remember that. You know, very few people say, oh, I don't remember being. Yeah, I guess I was in jail for 20 years. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. Every time I pray for you guys, I just get a big old smile. With joy. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day right unto now. You are partners with me, financial partners in sharing in the gospel. We're going to see they build up some interest. Notice verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you is going to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus is the rapture. That's when we're evaluated. I want you to get that. Our partnership, it's going to be made perfected. It's going to keep growing until the rapture. Man, those are some returns. Now, I don't mind telling you that when Paul wrote this, he thought it was only going to be for a few years. Turned out so far to be about 2,000. Wow. Can't believe it. And so these believers are not only going to hear that wonderful thing that Jesus talks about in Luke 19:17. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful in just a few things, I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. We're going to rule with Christ. The Philippians are going to rule with Christ. It's an exciting time. Now, I'm going to go back to verse 5. This word participation really is where we get our word for communion. Communion, fellowship. It's an attitude of goodwill that manifests an interest in a close relationship. It means generosity. Participation. Sharing. So they're sharing in this. When he says, I'm confident, that's a perfect participle of patheo, and it means to cause one to come to a particular point of view or course of action. In other words, he's confident in it. This is absolutely certain going to occur. And the results are going to go on for all eternity. That's a perfect participle. And here's why he's confident. Because the one who has begun a good work, that's Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, the rapture. Man, who's doing the work? God is, yeah. Is that grace? Yeah. Now, when we're going to work with God, I love that. We're going to do the work of God. What's our part? Faith! You know, that's hard, isn't it? That's why Paul says, we fight the good fight of faith. See, I can talk about offering now because we've already had it. Once you understand this passage, you know, we always quote, God has every man is to give, not grudgingly or necessity. Now, in grace-oriented churches like this, When we give grudgingly, we do it secretly. I just love giving.
Not of necessity.
God doesn't need our money.
But according as we budget, plan, want to give, move by the Spirit.
And then here's the part. For God loves a cheerful giver. Let me tell you, until I understood this passage, I never knew what in the world he was talking about. But when we get through with this and you understand this passage, you're going to understand. You, I'm giving. That's what it means. I can't wait. This is so much fun. You know why? Because you realize you're buying the best stock on the market. And it's going to just shoot up in value. And the value is going to last for eternity. Man, this is great. There's no stock like that on the New York Stock Exchange. You do know that sometimes. Not with God's. That's what he's talking about. That's where we're going. He said, I'm so convinced that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they're going to perfect it until the rapture. Now, just for fun, because we're going to move over to chapter 4, but stop at chapter 2, verse 16. I'll not take you long to get there. If it does, you've got a problem. We'll just start at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. That sounds real close like you're walking in love, doesn't it? Nah, probably not. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God. You know what he's saying? He is equating walking in love with living a righteous life. You see that? This is the test. How do we live a righteous life? Faith. Oh, in the Holy Spirit. Faith has no power, does it? It's the object. What's our work? Faith. Trust the Spirit. Man. So, wait a minute, God. You know, I thought I lived the way to live a righteous life is because I went to church one time and they told me, and they had a whole list of things not to do and a whole list of things to do. And if I did not do the nots and I did do the do's, boy, was I confused, then I was righteous. No. That's self-righteousness. I love what Isaiah says about us, good works and self-righteousness. Filthy rags, but that ain't the word in Hebrew. You mean, I just trust the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and I'm going to live a righteous life? Yeah. Yeah. Can I sin while I'm filled with the Spirit? No, I got to quench or grieve the Spirit, don't I? Wow. See how easy it is to live a righteous life? You should never sin again. Except the battle we fight is faith. Okay? Now, verse 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Certainly that's not us. Among whom you appear as lights of the world. As we live a truly righteous life, produced in us by the Holy Spirit, we begin to look like whom? Christ, or Herman, or me. If you begin to look like Herman, change your walk. Yeah, we begin to look like Christ, who is the light of the world. You know what that means? People begin to see Jesus in us. And we have an impact
perhaps on them coming to Christ for salvation or coming to the Holy Spirit for salvation. Where did we learn that? Well, we learned that right here. So, that person comes to Christ through seeing Christ in us. Ding, 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 ding. You got that? Stock going up. Everybody that's given to this ministry. Is that not? I mean, how could you not be excited about that? Unless, of course, you don't like to give. And that's okay, too. Maybe some of us will share. Verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, there it is again, when our lives are evaluated, I have reason to glory, because I didn't run in vain. Somebody took advantage of my teaching. I have reason to glory. Now, flip over to chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well. Good. Good, have been, you've done good. To share with me in my affliction. Here he's talking about financial troubles. You guys have done good. You've shared with me. You've given. You know, Corinth was probably the richest church in the New Testament. They wouldn't give a cotton picking penny. Because you know why? You never know when God's going to stop providing for you. You better hold on to what you got today. He stops providing for me tomorrow, I'm about two steps ahead of the church of Philippi. They were like the poor snake. They didn't have a pot to hiss in. And so, money didn't mean anything to them. They didn't have enough to do anything with it anyway. No, just give it to the Lord. Give it to Paul. Yeah, they shared in his financial trouble. This is not always true, but it seems like sometimes, oftentimes, the people with the least give and do the most. And the people with the most give and do the least. I tell you a story, true story. This one really is true. Years ago, first came to Tucson, had a young girl in the church who made almost nothing. And I don't know how I happened to know this, because I try not to know these things. But she faithfully gave $50 a month, which was a lot of money to her. Okay? One day her boss calls me. He is a multi-millionaire. He calls me, says, John, I need you to come out and see me if you could. He didn't come to our church. I said, well, sure, I came. And he said, it's time for me to give my yearly offering. And so I want to give it to you. And he gave me this huge check for $500, which, hey, I could use. You know, the church could use. We appreciate it. But my thought was, here's this poor girl that gives more to the Lord than a rich man. Now, he thought nothing. You know what? My airplane's dirty. I need a new airplane. Write out a check. I need a new decat for my ranch down here, and write out a check.
You know. But when it came to the Lord, stingy. Stingy. And but was very proud of what he gave. And I realized then, man, people got almost nothing they give. You know why? Because they recognize their dependency upon the Lord every day. They're not dependent upon the $50. But they're dependent upon God. You see that? Wow, I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson. How many times do I have to repeat it now, like the preacher? Gets it. Was it four times you have to repeat something? A good preacher repeated everything four times. Yeah. Verse 15. You yourself also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared, became my partners financially with me in the matter of giving and receiving the profit, but you guys. And even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once. Now, receiving here in verse 15, it's a technical word for receiving income. I want you to get this. They gave to Paul, they received the income. It's a reciprocal agreement. Used for the settlement of accounts. Paul is saying that they became partners, and as partners in Paul's ministry, they gave, and now they're sharing the profits. Here we are, folks, 2,000 years later. They're sharing in the profits. Pretty good investment, I think. And the profits are rewards at the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. I'm just thinking, you think we could call the Apostle Paul's ministry a successful ministry? Was it by the grace of God? Did he have to trust God during that time? Yeah. You know, dear God, as I sit here on my couch and watching television, I want to pray for those people over there across the ocean that they get saved. Pray that you'll send someone and it's not me. No. Yeah. Prayed for them and said, whoa. I see a bunch of people rushing over there giving the gospel. I'll go. He goes. And his life was so smooth. Ah, yeah, a few shipwrecks, soaking his wounds in salt water for a few days. You know, whipped, beaten, in prison. But it was all fun. Yeah. He just trusted the Lord. Trusted the Lord. And every time he, like, in Philippi, he trusts the Lord. Remember, the earthquake comes. Everybody's shackles are gone. The guard about ready to, yeah, take his life. Paul said, go ahead, you deserve it after what you treated me. No, stop, we're all here. We're all here. I love that guard. He has a logical question. What must I do to be saved? See, he had heard Paul and Silas singing and praising God. He's thinking, these guys aren't quite right. We just beat the hell out of them. They're just singing praises to God. I'm sorry. Beat the heck out of them. I tell you, same thing I tell my guys, Salvation Army. I've been commissioned by God to preach hellfire and damnation. So I can say those words. You can't? I can't. Let me tell you, when he realized, I mean, everybody's loose, but nobody left. his life could go on. Because see, in those days, if a prisoner escaped, the way they cut down on guards taking bribes is they executed the guards. That's why he's going to take his life. Do the honorable thing in his mind. And so what does he say when he realizes everybody's here? Hey, guys, what do I need to do to get what you guys got? What must I do to be saved? You see what he's saying? How do I get what you got? I want that. And Paul said, release us from this prison. Pay us back wages. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And thy house. In other words, your whole household. Go tell them about Jesus. And he did. That, you see the memory that Paul's got? Man, he's rejoicing. Look at verse 17. Not that I seek the gift itself. I think that's one reason that most pastors, most doctrinal pastors, guys that understand grace. I'm going to see if I can get an amen from Brother Herman. We hate taking offerings. Is that right, Brother Herman? Little church like this. Here's how, at least I look at myself because it's a little church. Okay, people, it's time for y'all to pay my salary. I got bills to pay and food to buy. We're passing the plate. Put your money in there. I don't eat. But give. Do you see what we're really thinking? Because in a little church, where does most of the money go? Pay the preacher. Right? So we're asking you to give, and it's like, it's for me, but I don't want to say that. Yes. Oh, that's where I live. But see, you understand that. And that's what Paul is teaching. But I'm talking about how we feel as pastors. I'm not talking about you. We don't care about y'all. Right. As long as they're not hoarse. Yeah. But you see, from our viewpoint, that's what I'm talking about. And that's how Paul felt till he understood this principle. So I'm not asking you to give. He said, I'm not seeking the bread for me. I'm asking you to give for you. Can you see the difference? Who's going to be blessed? You are. Yeah, but pastor, we're going to pay your salary. Let me tell you something. How much of what you pay, Brother Herman, this week, do you think you'll still have in the year 2116? Gone. Right? And if he had the whole thing, it'd probably be worth about 12 cents. Are you with me? How much is what you gave going to be worth at the rapture? It's going to be compounded. Because Jesus said, planting apple trees, producing more apples. Because he's producing like kind. Are you with me? Not like kind that looks like him. If that were the case, I'd say don't ever come back. You see where we're going? So, Paul says in verse 17, read it again, not that I seek zealously go after the gift itself. It's not for me. But for the profit. Economic profit. God's a capitalist. He believes in profit. So I tell you, unfortunately, many people spend more time evaluating the physical stock they're going to buy than they do spiritual stock. Guy comes on television, oh, I give to him. Oh, look at those poor children in the store. Oh, got to give. Help the poor Palestinians. Bishop so-and-so. And I tell you, if the guy who's wanting you to give is named Bishop somebody, you better think twice. Because you're investing in stock that never gains in value. I'm getting ready to invest in the stock market. Somebody says, John, here's just the stock for you. It has never paid a dividend. Whoa! And that's not all. It's gone down in value every year for 40 consecutive years. Let me have it. Right? Paul says, I got a stock for you. It pays a dividend for all eternity. It's never gone down in value. Nobody ever steals it. It doesn't even rust. Even if you live in the rust belt, it won't rust. It's a sure-fired investment with the Lord. Can't be beat. So I want you to have that profit. Notice, which increases, participle is a principle, present tense, keeps on increasing to, now when you give to the TV preacher who's told you, you send me $1,000, God's going to send you $10,000, whose account increases? His. Paul says, when you give to the Lord, your account keeps increasing. Your account. Paul says, man, I want you to give, not for me, but for you. Because I want your account to keep growing and growing and growing. Now, he had no idea how much it was going to grow. 2,000 years. You know, if the rapture occurred next week, and Apostle Paul sees all the dividends passed out by the Lord to this church at Philippi. Woo! I had, you know, blows my mind. Wonder how many churches, like maybe at Corinth, they're going to look and say, just poor folk. You know, they were glad. We didn't even like them at Philippi. They weren't as prestige and as well dressed as we. Look at all their reward. Man, I wish we'd have gotten in on that investment. You ever decided not to invest in something and a little bit later you say, well, I wish I'd have gotten in on that? One time I was going to buy a couple hundred acres in East Texas. They wanted $10 an acre. What do you think I am, an idiot? $10? Yeah, I was an idiot. I didn't buy it. See what I mean? This is a better investment. Better investment. So, to your account. I think sometimes we just see things in the physical realm. And we don't see them in the spiritual realm. And that's why the New Testament, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, they promote, live your life in the light of eternity. Paul says in this book, my citizenship's in heaven. Man, that's a verse for you because election's coming. Doesn't make any difference who gets elected. Your citizenship is in heaven. It doesn't make any difference who becomes the president. Your investment is safe with Jesus. Do you see that? That's what really counts. Eternity. Live my life that way. If I live my life in the light of eternity, people, I'm going to give in the light of eternity. Does that make sense to you? And one day, I'm going to say, woo! I met a couple this week that had been supporting the Risleys for 20 years. They met them on their way down to Mexico. 20 years. And they have been supporting them. Prayer, giving. I recognize the name because I sent out the newsletters and so forth. I don't know what they give, but they gave. From that little investment, 20 years later, tens of thousands of people have come to Jesus Christ through that ministry. I wonder what their return is. You see that? Wow. I mean, this is why this is... I will not say this, but I'll say it anyway. I've been thrown out of nicer places than this. Twenty years they've shared in that investment. And here's the neat thing. They didn't ever have to go to Mexico. They never had to sleep on the ground. They never had to live a life day after day after day after day eating beans and tortillas. And thanks to our wonderful government and ethanol, beans and tortillas have skyrocketed in price in Mexico. That's okay. Just for your knowledge. Ethanol costs you about, each family, about $2,000 a year. Higher prices in this country. I love it. But the return is, we get a return, it pollutes more than gasoline. Don't buy U.S. bonds. Buy God bonds. This family never had to leave the United States, never had to undergo the hardship they undergo in Mexico. But they're getting reward for all the hard work over there, for their hard work. What'd they do? Every month, put a little check in the mail. Well, it's hard. Lick the stamp, lick the envelope. They're going to get eternal reward just for that. Just think about it. You have an opportunity, maybe your youth camp. Maybe you're going to work at youth camp. You share in the reward. You share in the reward of every kid who comes to camp and is moved to have a relationship with God and walk in the Spirit. Do you see that? See how it compounds? You give here at church. You share in all the ministries of this church. Somebody leaves here, and this week at work, somebody says, boy, I'm really down this week. My uncle, my aunt's dying. Somebody I love is dying. Man, I wish I knew what happened to you after you died. I'm so scared of dying. And you said, yeah, that's a good question. Moved on. No, you made an investment. You tell them about Jesus. And that person comes to Christ. Every person involved in supporting this ministry shares in that. Are you with me? Heck of a deal. Heck of a deal.
Oop, knock the clock off. It's 25:11. I like that. It was 11:52. Now it's 25:11. I got a lot of time. I got a lot of time. Look back, chapter 1 again, verse 6. Paul says, I'm absolutely confident of this very thing. I'm confident that you're going to share in the prophets. That he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Perfect. Epitaleo. Completion. It means to bring about a result according to a plan or an objective to accomplish what you want to accomplish. God's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. To cause something to happen as a fulfillment of an objective or purpose. Now, here's what I want to see. And in secular Greek, it has the idea of paying something in a accordance with an obligation. I don't like thinking about it. God's not obligated to me. Is that true? Is God obligated to you? That's the answer. It's okay. We don't throw you out. Oh, so he's obligated. Yeah. So if God says, trust me, I give you eternal life, is he obligated? Oh, he's obligated. That's okay then, isn't it? Whew. Oh, hallelujah. He's obligated. Let me tell you, if God says you support a ministry, I'm obligated. I'm obligated to make sure I bring you your returns at the rapture. He's under obligation to fulfill it. It's okay. I like God being obligated to me. See, we think, oh, I'm going to do this for you, God, now you got to do this for me. God, how could you let this happen to me after all the good things I've done for you? I don't understand. How, God, did you pay attention here? No. Under grace, God's obligated to do what he says he'll do for us when we distrust him. Wow. Obligation. Yeah. So, God says, you support this ministry, he's obligated to see that you're rewarded in eternity. I think God probably keeps his obligation. We may call that veracity. Right? Faithful. So, you and I, as individuals, can either choose to be part of something that God's going to parlay into wonderful spiritual benefits for us for all eternity by living our lives in the light of eternity, giving in the light of eternity, or we can choose not to. Old saying, pays your money, take your choice. I'm going to say, it's just as easy to live your life walking day by day in the Spirit as it is not to. In fact, it may be easier. Because when you're walking with the Spirit, he's working through you. He's giving you these things, love, joy, peace. Just take those three. I've never known anybody came home from work. Honey, how was your day? Oh, it sucked! I had joy all day! Everything I did was right, it was always terrible. I had peace in my soul. I hate it when I have peace in my soul. I like turmoil, and things were just going to hell in a handbasket, and I had peace. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, and you think that's bad? I had joy. There's nothing more miserable than joy.
They're coming to take me away, right? Yeah.
That's life walking with the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit working through you. It ain't as comfortable when the Holy Spirit working on you. See what I mean? So it's just as easy. In fact, it's easier. And the prophets last for eternity. Here's what God promises you. He says, I guarantee you trust me. You live your life in the light of eternity. You give in the life in the light of eternity. And I promise you, strawberry pie in the sky by and by. And in the meantime, just to hold you over, cherry pie. You see what I mean? Yeah? Your favorite dessert here? Because you're living the abundant life. Life is tremendous. And your eternity is tremendous. That's what Jesus wants for you. Wanted bad enough to die on the cross for you. He didn't just save you so you could have eternal life. Whoopee. Life's hell on earth, but one day I'll go to heaven. No. He saved you so you have the abundant life. Now. And eternity in superabundance. Father, thanks for this time. I pray we'll make a decision. Live our lives in the light of eternity. We're not real smart, but we're not that stupid. Pray that we'll just live every day for you. And then when we're giving, we'll be cheerful givers. We may be only smiling on the outside, but we'll be dying laughing on the inside. Because we're thinking, I'm giving a few bucks to Jesus, and I'm getting an eternal return. Wow. What a deal. Instead of, as is so often the case today, we smile on the outside while we give. On the inside, we're thinking of all the things we could have done with that money instead. And we're not even getting a return. I thank you, Father, for your love for us. I thank you for your plan. We couldn't even come close to thinking of a plan this great. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank y'all. Enjoyed it.